All right, Ron, thank you so much. And the study point for tonight is on our ongoing studies, and we've kind of, for the last 4, 5, 6 weeks, we've kind of went off to one side a little bit to understand about salvation has come unto all men. And it did it through the Lord Jesus Christ. And it did it through his finished work, which is really not finished, but yet it is, to the extent that when things are finished up in God's will and purpose, it'll be complete. And the fact is that I took this from a study that Brother Larry Dyer did several years ago when he came to Wool State Church. And we were having some meetings with about, I don't know, sometimes it's 5 or 6, sometimes it's 8 or 10 people that he felt like that would really grab a hold and listen and to understand and to get these things. And you know, some of them, here we are, years later, 50 years later, 52 or 3 years later, and we're still working it down the road. And so we've been looking at the crucifixion of Christ, his birth, and of course his birth by Mary, his mother, and it was a birth that God made clear that it was going to take place, and it certainly did exactly the way that he said it would. And to realize and to understand the different views of it from these different people is a thing of wonder. And we got involved in it for several studies. And then Larry kind of put the whole thing together one time in a, just in a single study in church. And people got wondering what, you know, what was going on. And they called us having chimney corner meetings. And, you know, and the Baptists have a kind of a different look at that. It's not growing in the word, but it's like,
well, you're not supposed to study the Bible anywhere but at church, you know?
Yeah, well, that's the way some of them looked at it too. And realize that's not exactly the way it is. And we've been looking at these different things that we looked at then in a greater view than the regular 1 hour sermon that he done, because Larry always had a wristwatch and he generally pulled it off of his arm and he put it on the rostrum up there when he started his service.
And he would tell you it meant absolutely nothing.
Yeah, and he says, you know, I do this because it really means absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
I'm going to be here till I'm done.
Yeah.
And
he was serious about that, too.
Yeah, and so this is kind of the offshoot of a lot of this, and thank the Lord for it. And thank the Lord for these different views. But I hope if you got what I got out of these things, it is an understanding that even though these people heard it from all of these people that God chose to put forth the word to these people, the way he wanted it done with these people that he brought up as prophets, they told exactly what God wanted them to do. But when things started happening that way, they really didn't have a lot of understanding there. And so I'm looking at it as what the Apostle Paul wrote to these young men that was to carry this new thing that we call mystery truth on to the rest of the world, that it's something that when they heard it again, they had to refigure it in their mind as to what was happening. And so if we're sent out into the world with a message, and we're sent out there with a testimony of Christ, how many people's going to listen to us too, see? Because sometimes it seems to go in man's one ear and out the other. It seems like it doesn't hold fast. But here we are. And so we're going to look at John's point of view of this thing. And I'm going to start in John the 18th chapter with the 10th verse. John 18:10. And we're going to read a little bit about this tonight. And I want you to be careful to understand when Christ gets to the cross, what he does. Because it's a little different view or a look at things according to the way Matthew, Mark, and Luke did. And he had to take care of business, and he wanted to take care of business, and he did. And we'll talk about that when we get to it. Okay, everybody in John 18:10. And we got here Simon Peter. They had their supper and all this, and Christ has been betrayed. And here they are, and this one servant of the high priest is going to take hold of Christ. Peter didn't like that very much. And we're going to start here, and it says, then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Have you ever heard tell of Peter carrying a sword? You ever heard of any of Jesus' disciples taking something of self-defense along with them? This is something that's kind of different.
Well, you remember what he told them, but
huh?
At first in his ministry, he told them, you know, sell your sword, and you don't need your shoes. You know, the Lord, you know, go out as you've been sent. Lord will provide
everything for you.
Toward the end, he said, but now you need a sword. You got
sell the
stave and buy a sword. You know, it's a whole different marching
order. The information here is that Peter did that.
Yep.
And so, and he smote off the servant's right ear. Now, one of the other scriptures says that Christ healed his ear. He put the ear back on in Luke and healed his ear.
Yep.
Because you see, Luke's a doctor. And so it was something that nobody else could really have done that way. But yet, evidently it was really important that Luke bring that up, being a physician himself. And Herod, he had been sent to Herod, and Herod was there in the city, and he come back, and he said he wanted to see a miracle that Christ done. Well, he didn't stay long enough.
That's what,
okay.
I was going to say that was probably the last miracle that he did, quite likely.
Well, if he had went to the grave on the morning that Christ rose, he was seen two men standing there, and it said they were dressed in white, and it looked like lightning was coming from their bodies.
Yeah.
and asked the women, why are you looking for the dead among the living? Yeah. Why are you looking to the dead to find the living? And certainly that brought them back to a remembrance of it being said that, yeah, he would be in the grave 3 days and three nights and he would rise again. And he did. Okay, let's go on. We got a lot to get through. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? He said, look, the Father has sent me to do a job. And you trying to keep me from drinking it? From the cup? And so, that was the question that Christ asked Peter. He said, then the band and the captain of officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest the same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And so this part of that, you know, carries on down through all of these parts, because they had in their law, they had a deal where if you were going to release one man, you could release him and take in another one. And so they had a robber in town that was in jail waiting on his sentence. And so they wanted them to release to them Barabbas and take in Jesus Christ. And it says this, and Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. Okay. You got another little clue here. Peter was there, and another disciple was there that was not mentioned. And his mother was there, and she was not mentioned. Who is it? Who do you think it is? That's part of Christ dying on the cross. He made sure that his mother was taken care of, because the one that they considered to be the father of Jesus, the man, Mary's husband, Joseph, had passed away. So what does a good Jew do? The next head of household is supposed to take over and take care of the people.
And we certainly know Jesus was the oldest.
Yeah.
Out of that family.
Okay, so
you know, as it was considered.
So here we are. We got a little situation. Okay, but we'll go on another disciple. But Peter stood at the door without, and then went out, that other disciples which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. And then said the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, art thou also one of this man's disciples? And he said, oh, I'm not. And the servant and the officer stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. And the high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I even taught in the synagogues and in the temple, where the Jews always resort, and in secret I said nothing. because it is written that it is that's it. It's not right to do things in secret. Okay. Why hast thou me, Christ? Asked them, which heard me what I have to say unto them. Behold, they know what I said. And when he had thus spoken of the officers which stood by, struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, answer thou the high priest so. And Jesus answered him, if I had spoken evil, bear witness of the evil, but if it will, why smitest thou me? Now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas the high priest, and Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, art thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman whose ear Peter cut off, said, did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew, because it was said that, and Christ had told Peter, he said, before the cock crows, you'll deny me thrice. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas into the hall of judgment, and it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, what accusation bring ye against this man? He wanted to know. He wanted to know. And they answered and said unto him, if he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death. So they're wanting to pass the buck on that. That the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. So he had already told them. You know, it was already known that there was going to be a crucifixion. And it looked as if Christ was going to be in it, even to this point. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell thee of me? Just like when he asked Peter. Said, Peter, who do you say that I am? You remember what that? And Peter said, oh, you're the Son of God. And he said, well, flesh and blood didn't tell you that. Okay. Pilate answered to them, and he said, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? And Jesus answered and said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered unto the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered and saith that, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end I was born, and for this cause came I into the world, and I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate said unto him, what is truth? See, Pilate was very perplexed about this whole situation. He didn't really want to have anything to do with it. And his wife...
I don't think they bothered themselves with the religion of their captors.
Of the people that were captives.
As long as y'all stay in line, you can have all the religion you want.
Yeah.
You
know?
kind of thing.
And when he had, when he had said this, he went out unto the Jews and said unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will you therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, no, not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Verse chapter 19. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. He whipped him, had him whipped. And the soldiers plaited a corn of thorns and put on his head, and they put on him a purple robe. Well, if we go back to the third chapter of Genesis, we find that when God was handing out these things and taking people out of the Garden of Eden and sending them out into the world, they got chosen for some thing that they did. But when he got to Adam, he said, you were talked into this. And he says, I'm not going to put a curse on you, but I'm going to put a curse on the stuff that you will get from the land. And it will have thorns and thistles. It will have things in it that'll hurt, harm, and even kill you. And so they took the very things that God said would be out in the world for on trees or on bushes or whatever to make you weary of taking the fruit from it. Because, you know, even we found out that the man under the tree, that when we got to looking at it, they was two kind of figs. They was figs on trees that had no thorns, and they were good and very eatable. And the figs on trees that had thorns was considered to be evil. They weren't fit to eat. They would make you sick when you eat them. And, you know, who knew that? And I guess I asked the question, have you ever seen a fig tree that had thorns? I never have. I think it may be in those countries. I think because where they are, you know, they're awfully close to Babylon and Turkey and the other places over there that's got things that we don't have. And I think of Bradford pears. You know, they say now they're a menace to the United States because they have stickers on them. And the pears ain't fit to eat. They don't get very big. And they're just not worth anything other than maybe a little shade or adornment.
Even stink.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, they have a real good smell.
Okay, so the crown of thorns, they put it on his head in a purple robe and said, Hail the King of the Jews, and they smote him with their hands. They hit up on him. Then came Jesus forth wearing this crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said unto them, Behold the man. When the chief priests, therefore, and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate said unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. And the Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. Well, you see, they didn't hear. Evidently, they didn't hear what had been talked and taught to them in the synagogues. Because Because Christ made it pretty plain in different things. He said, you know, today, you know, the word of God is spoken into your ears. Pilate then heard the saying and was more afraid, and he went again into the judgment hall and said unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then said Pilate unto him, Speakest that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee. Jesus answered at that point, Thou couldest no power at all against me except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. So, you know, he's speaking of Judas. He said early on, you know, I have chosen 12. And one of them is the devil.
Yep.
And certainly that was true. And from henceforth, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whatsoever maketh him a king speaketh against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard this saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement. But in the Hebrew, it is called Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he said unto Jesus, Unto the Jews, behold your king. But they cried out, away with him, crucify him. Pilate said unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priest answered, We have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he them therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place, the place of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. And when they crucified him, and two others with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst, these were the malefactors.
Yep.
And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And he wrote that before he ever left Jerusalem. And he didn't go to Golgotha. He didn't go to the, Pilate didn't go there. Because it was none of his business at this point. Simply because these would not relent to let him turn him loose. And they wanted somebody else to take the blame for killing him if the Jews had an uprising here. And he said, Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read, Many of the Jews from the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. If you notice, the others were written in other ways. And so this was John's account of what was going on here. And so it was... To John, he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. And it was written in Greek, which was now the pretty much the deal of all the ones of learning, and it was written also in Latin. Then said the chief priest of the Jews, Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews. And Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. Now, he wasn't going to go any further with this. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garment and made four parts to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now, the coat was without seam woven from the top throughout. They said, therefore, among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it. Who shall it will be that the scripture might be fulfilled which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture did they cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. Not knowing what the Jewish law was, they did exactly what God had said they was going to do, the prophecy. Okay. Now, there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister, which was Jesus' aunt by blood, and Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. There was another woman there. Salome. That was John's wife. John was that disciple that was not mentioned. He was not going to put his name to this. Nor his wife. And said, when Jesus therefore saw his mother, and the disciples standing by, whom he loved, he said unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. And it wasn't a bad saying because, it was more of a tribute to a mother. Be called by her son that was of age to call her woman. Because she had no control over what he could do now. And they couldn't charge her with anything that he did do. And she didn't have a live husband anymore. So there needed to be somebody to take care of Mary. Then saith he to the disciple. You see, it doesn't say to John. He said the disciple that he loved.
Yeah.
Behold thy mother, and from that hour the disciple took her unto his own home. He done the Jewish thing. He become the grown-up in the group. After this, Jesus, knowing that thing which was now accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. He would not take any of the bitterness of the drink that they were offering him. He refused it. The other times. But he said, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it on a hyssop and put it to his mouth. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head. And he gave up the ghost. He was not going to die until his mother, his human mother, was taken care of, and he knew the one to do it, and he chose that one to do it, and that one didn't say a word, but he made plans to take her home with him. And it said the Jews, therefore, because it was preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, as a high day, they sought Pilate that their legs might be broken and they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and broke the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they broke not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came out blood and water. And Jesus always knew about the blood and knew about the meaning of blood, and he knew where all the blood was. When Cain slew Abel, he told Cain, he said, his blood crieth out to me from the ground. I know where it's at. I know what you did. But yet, some of that blood was spilt there in Golgotha. When Christ comes back, and there's going to be an earthquake, and the ground's going to be leveled off for a long distance each way, he's going to set up the throne of David in that open space. Where do you think that throne's going to be sitting? It's going to be sitting where his blood was that he didn't take to heaven. It has to be paid for. And believe you me, it will be paid for, I think. And it will be paid for by the people that did the Jews bad deal and bad service. Even though they was foolhardy and they didn't remember a lot of what Christ had told them until it was refreshed in their mind. That is the way Satan tries to operate. He tries to keep from mankind the goodness of what God wants to put forth against his sinfulness. And so that's another thing of that we need to remember and we need to look at and we need to share with each other as we go through this world trying to point people toward the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the greatest gift that God could give to mankind was the blood of his Son for the forgiveness of sin, that we would not have to go through the trials and tribulations of being judged openly. See, we've already been judged and pronounced unsinful because he took my sins, your sins, all of our sins, whether or not you believe it. He took those sins and paid for them, even though many will not ever believe that. But that doesn't diminish what Christ did one iota, not one thing. I think it makes it even stronger in that sense as to what it is, because he said salvation has come to all men. It's up to them to receive it or to disclaim it. So here we are. For these things were done that scripture should be fulfilled. The bone was not in him shall not be broken. And again, another scripture said they shall look upon him whom they pierced. Yep. All these things come back to give you the border work of the puzzle that was laid out before them, just like you would go to town and buy a crossword puzzle and find that.
You mean a jigsaw puzzle?
Jigsaw puzzle, yeah. I do crossword puzzles. The jigsaw has the picture of what needs to be put together. Okay. And so they did take the body of Jesus and they came to the grave after the Sabbath day and after Christ had been dead 3 days and three nights. And they come into the grave and there was the stone was rolled away and the two guys in white apparel. And I don't know where they got the idea of this thing when they made the notes in the companion Bible, but it says it was as if lightning was coming and going from their being. That was how powerful these men were in that situation with taking care of the business of our God. He provides everything that man needs everything that even an angel needs when he sends them to do things for him. And so Herod wasn't there to see that either. So he missed out on these miracles that would have been there. But the fact is, this thing, what else? What could be more important than you and I living in sin and come to this belief and understanding that God gave his only begotten son. That's what he called him. His only begotten son. And he put a single cell into this woman and it grew back. And Christ asked God to give him back the power that he had beforehand. And he also, he never ever forgot what he had done with the Father and all this work that he did. And he could do anything. He had the power to do whatever God asked him to do. And God gives us the power to do things that sometimes we think that we can't do, but we get it worked out. It may take a little doing to get it done, but we get it worked out. And we need not think about retiring and going home and sitting down and look at the dust collect on the Word of God and not do something about it. Because God never give up on us. He's not ever given up on us. Even to the point of giving his own son for us. And that's salvation.
Amen.
And when Christ come into the lives of these people, that was living salvation right there. And so, he's at the Father's right hand right now making intercession in the heavenly places.
Amen.
And he sends his Holy Spirit to deal with mankind in this age, in this place. And the Holy Spirit, folks, as best I can understand, I might be wrong about it, but I don't think so, that if the Holy Spirit is in you and in me, like it was with the people in Acts, if a person passes away and you're in Christ, that Holy Spirit's not going to stay in a dead body. He's going to take whatever it is that God needs of you and me, and he's going to take it back to the Son that sits on the Father's right hand. And that's where the resurrection for us is going to come for, that's part of the body of Christ. And God is going to give to us the answers, I think, when that happens and when he appears, then we will know things that we never knew before. And whatever it is that's needed, we're at the disposal of the head. The body works out whatever the head wants done.
Amen.
And if you can't see that happening with you, then I feel sorry for you. And I will pray that you will understand and know and see. Because that's what it says in Titus 2. That salvation has appeared unto all men. If they ain't seen it yet, they will see it. And if they don't never see it, they will not have hope. There will be no more life for them. I hate to put it that way, but that's God's plan. It's not Cecil McCurry's plan. I would wish that nobody would go beyond the recall of God. But just think, just stop and think for just a minute. With you and me, your family and my family, that there may be some there that will say, no, I don't believe what you're teaching. I don't believe what you're saying. And I know that happens a lot. But that's the power of Satan, because he has dominion still here. And so things haven't reached the point that John saw when he was in Revelations and giving us understanding and truth that he was seeing and was given things that he saw to give to us that we might realize and understand that, yeah, God's still at work. And that all the Jews haven't seen Christ. But I believe they will, one point or the other. Because he says, as you seen me go, I will return. And it says in Zechariah, they will one come as a prophet. And it says, and he will have nail prints in his hands and in his body. And said, if you ask him where he got them, he will say, I was with my friends. Now, we've read all these things. Did they sound like they were friends? But Christ looked at them as friends because he was taking away their sins that they might have hope of life again with him. Would you and I have a testimony that strong? Oh boy, I don't know. And I'm glad I don't have to worry about that.
Amen.
So think on these things and let's realign our way of getting out and meeting and talking with people and explaining to them exactly what Christ has done for us. And that couldn't have happened any other way except by the will of God.
Yeah, Michael was basically saying that last night in his study. That, you know, even though we know and profess the mystery, we still have a responsibility to preach Christ.
Absolutely.
Very good point.
Absolutely. I don't see I don't see a lot of these ministers says, oh, I'm going to retire. How can you retire from God?
Yeah,
amen. How do you do that? Certainly I couldn't do that. I couldn't even think about it.
I don't think he retires from us. So.
Oh, gee.
I'm glad he don't, too.
Thank you, folks, for being with me. And the sermon was basically a one-hour sermon that Larry did. But we had all this stuff kind of spoon-fed to us to begin with. Because that was part of the learning experience that we got, that we should have gotten it a long time before in a church setting, but oftentimes we don't. And somebody comes along, and you look at them and say, like I said, where's this person been all my life? Glory be to God for sending him to me and to my family.
Amen.
And I look at these things that are going on in the earth now. I look at these places that have been bummed out. And these people have no place to go. And I realize that what I lived through as a young boy in Ohio during World War II, same things are still around today. And I sit there sometimes in my chair and cry. And ask the Lord to help these folks. They need it. Because the word says there'll be wars and rumors of wars. And the only thing I can do is ask the Lord to bless. Let's remember all this. And let's put these tears into prayers. And ask God to bless him for his service. God bless you. We'll be back in next week, if the Lord willing, we'll be back in Titus chapter 3. We'll finish up Titus and then go back to 2 Timothy.